Yeah, Florence is raring to go on the front row. Okay, now this message this morning has kind of been bubbling around for a while, and I know it's on my heart because there are several of us, you know, I know our lives are always changing, but I know there are several of us who, at the moment in particular, there are some big changes, and so I've been thinking about a lot about change, and there's a small quote that I want to start with from Matthew Henry, and it's so obvious, but it's, we live in a world of changes. Which is so true, and it's kind of ironic because so many of us are averse to change. So many of us get very uncomfortable when change is a-coming. But change is unavoidable, it's inescapable, and change is necessary. So we need to get good at change. And this requires some level of flexibility, more internal than external. Thank goodness. Praise God, I'm losing the inability or the ability to be flexible. But it requires a flexibility and a pliability whilst remaining certain and steadfast and consistent. And of course, we know that our anchor is Jesus Christ. So when we are anchored in Him, we can be pliable and flexible and be steadfast and sure. Last week, Lloyd spoke about transition and going from one season to the next. And spring is here, believe it or not. Yay! We're all warming up a little bit. And summer is on its way, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. We cannot stop the seasons of life. And of course, thinking about seasons and change, what comes to mind but Ecclesiastes 3? And the fact that there is a time for everything. So we're entering into a series which is based on Ecclesiastes 3, and I'm kicking it off this morning. So I don't have a PowerPoint, so if you have your Bible or your phone, would you flick with me or swish with me? What do we call that? Glide? or turn your page of your Bible. Look what I did to my phone. You won't be able to see, but I've smashed it twice. And if I swish and glide, I get shards of glass in my fingers. It's terrible. thank the Lord, it's replaceable. Okay, so Ecclesiastes 3, a time for everything. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. He is such a beautiful mystery. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each one may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear Him. Our lives need to be lived out of this knowing, and we just sung that, didn't we? I exalt thee, knowing God's sovereignty and His greatness and His goodness, and living our lives in fear of Him. And that's not a cowering away fear, but in a let's take God seriously fear, because He is real and He is the Lord of the universe. So it's living from that place. of fear and being aware of this beautiful mystery of a sovereign God. There is a time for everything. Say that with me. There is a time for everything. There is a time to be born and a time to die. And really, this is what I'm going to be focusing on this morning and stretching that out a bit. We need to make room in our lives for the ushering in of new life and for the slowing down of the old. God created this life cycle, birth and death and everything in between. And these are the rhythms of nature that connect us to all that is holy and is sacred and good. These are the rhythms designed and ordained by our Father, who is the master craftsman who has indeed made everything beautiful in its time. So often, and just literally speaking, so often an unexpected pregnancy or the illness of an aging loved one seems like an inconvenience that will interrupt our well laid out plans, and we have to rearrange schedules and put plans on hold and even change direction completely in order to accommodate unexpected circumstances. Or maybe, depending on the stage of our life, maybe we're the ones slowing down. Maybe we've had something take place in our life that means that we are not as flexible, whatever that means, as we used to be. Maybe there's a physical limitation that is preventing us from doing all that we want to do and getting in the way of all of our good plans. We have to know that God is in the midst of that, and He knows. And I believe that as we kind of throw our hands up in the air, or whatever that looks like, as we wrestle with the fear and the anxiety of the unknown and the not knowing, as we wrestle with change and all of its implications, I believe that if we would quiet ourselves, if we would still ourselves for long enough, we'd be aware of God drawing us in and saying, I've made time for the changing of seasons, for the newness of life to be ushered in. I've made time and provision for the elderly to be cared for well. I've made allowances for transition and change. He would say, you are not alone. You will not miss out. You will not go off course or get left behind if you make way for the rhythms of life. And I believe that He would say there are enough hours in the day and there are enough days in the year in order to do which I have called for you to do well, for what He has ordained and purposed. He says there is enough time. This is the plan. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know in my life when things have unexpectedly happened, and I'm like, this is really going to get in the way of all that I have to do. God is drawing me aside and trying to get my attention and saying, Amanda, this is the plan. And we know that God is good and He does not ordain bad things. That's part of the fallen nature of this world that we live in. That doesn't work the way that it should. And so, you know, we're confronted with pain and heartache and illness and death, which can be so devastating. But He says, you can find me in the midst of this. I am here. And beautiful things will grow in this place if you seek me. He is so good. He doesn't want us to miss out on anything. And so I believe that that is, you know, the word for today. And I just want to stop and pray for a moment before we go on. Lord, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for each season. Lord, that we can find you in the midst of the rhythm. There are holy and sacred and good things to be found when we draw close to you. Lord, our reaction, or maybe this is just my reaction, but it's to panic and to, you know, sometimes be overwhelmed and to feel like I've been robbed of life. And you call us in and you say, no, no, no. I knew this would happen. Draw close to me because I'm going to breathe life into your spirit. I'm going to teach you what it means to walk with me, to abide in me in this sacred place. So, Lord, you know each story. You know what's going on. And I pray, Lord, that this message would speak to each one of us individually. Lord, into the depths of our spirit, there would be healing. Lord God, there would be renewing. In Jesus' name, there would be transformation. And, Lord, I pray that there would be revelation of our circumstances. Lord, if our attitude has been wrong, and again, I'm the first to put my hand out for that, Lord, that you would renew our minds this morning and have a fresh perspective, that we wouldn't see darkness, we would see light, that we would exalt your name in the dark places, Lord, and with that exalting, that is warfare, and there would be breakthrough in Jesus' name. I thank you for each precious person, Lord God, you have called them here this morning to be in your presence, to breathe life. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I have a few thoughts on how we can align ourselves with the heart of God and make way for these changing seasons and rhythms of life. And all bearing in mind that God's word says that there is indeed time for everything that he has ordained and purposed. And that relationship is at the heart of God. Therefore, this is a message about making room and creating space for relationship, because that's what it all comes down to. A good place to start is Lamentations 3:22-33. And my first point, which is the manna principle. Now, I've made this up myself. And it is biblical, I think. I know. Just don't worry. It's okay. But I've made up the term. And I use this term and I think about manna often. And for those of you who don't know or maybe need a little remindering, of course, remindering, it's a good word. It's another good word. Another made up one. Okay. Remember how, of course, the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years and God miraculously provided them manna from heaven, food from heaven every day to meet their needs. Now, this manna would only last for the day and they couldn't store it up. So, when I wake, and often, you know, if I'm facing a circumstance that is overwhelming or I'm feeling empty or maybe life is great, I just go back to there's enough for today. He has provided more than enough grace for today. And I don't need to be worried about storing that grace up for tomorrow and not giving any out for today because there's more than enough for today. I will not miss out if I give out. And of course, we need to abide in his love to be able to give out, but there's more than enough for today. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." This speaks of not rushing ahead, doesn't it? Not rushing ahead. It speaks of the fact that his grace is sufficient for today. We need to speak that deep into the core of our being. His grace is sufficient for today. So often we are robbed of today because we're fretting and worrying about tomorrow. His grace is sufficient for today. It speaks of the need of cultivating the inner voice, cultivating the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that when we are feeling overwhelmed and empty, we would be able to draw aside and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit whispering deep into our spirit and saying, "I am more than enough for you today. My grace is sufficient. My mercies are new every single morning, and I know exactly what you're facing today. I know exactly who you're going to come into contact with today, and my grace is sufficient for you." The manna principle. It is good. God is good. Okay, and the challenge. And I get with each of the points that I've got a little challenge, and I've kind of already said that. But the challenge for this is, you know, when sifting through what we have to do each day, whether it's looking at a to-do list or maybe just being overwhelmed with thoughts in the morning, depending on where you're at, maybe you just bounce out of bed and everything's hunky-dory, maybe you don't. but it's when you're sifting through your to-do lists, we need to draw from the knowledge that, indeed, his mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient. Okay, number two, he is the good father who places the lonely in families. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. God has an overwhelming desire that people would know his love. And the way that he orchestrates our lives are evidence of this. And I have been reflecting on this a lot in our own lives, so I want to tell you a bit of a story and hopefully it will make sense and draw back to this point. But for those of you who don't know, we live on my uncle's farm, about 10 minutes out of town. Now, my uncle is 86, and he is an incredibly generous man, and he understands... Here we go, Julie. It's a family story. Mum's had a few dramas with him this weekend, A&E and the like, but he's all good. Okay, he's an incredibly generous man, and you know what? He's not a believer at all, and we've had some very interesting conversations about us and our faith, and we disagree on quite a few levels, but he understands generosity and legacy better than many Christians. He has taught me what it means to sow for the generations to come. He's a bit of an environmentalist and he's always thinking about planting trees for the generation to come and planting not for himself but for those to come. And it's just an incredible example. And he lives very simply yet generously. And that's what he's teaching us to do. And the reason that we live where we live is because he gave us our inheritance early, and I'm not even his daughter. And really, I was thinking about this, he's acted as our kinsman redeemer for us. And as many of you know, my father left when I was a baby, and then he passed away when I was 13, and he was just 47, which is far too young to die. But Uncle has been there in all his funny, quirky, you know, for those of you that know him, he has acted as this kinsman redeemer to Mum and my sister and I. And a kinsman redeemer is a, you know, in the Old Testament, a male relative who, according to various laws found in the Pentateuch, had the privilege or responsibility to act for a relative who was in trouble, danger, or in need of vindication. And Waiuku and the farm, I grew up in Auckland, and so we would come out to Waiuku and come out to the farm, and it was always a constant for me. It was always a safe place to become. And God's goodness that he would orchestrate our lives in such a way never ever ceases to amaze me. His plans, as always, have breadth and depth and layer upon layer. But because of my uncle's generosity, and he is not a Christian, because of his generosity, it's released Lloyd and I to be available for ministry because we don't have a whopping mortgage. So because of his generosity of this man, we can do what we can do without having the pressure of having to have all kinds of different jobs, and we're available to do this, which is a massive blessing. And of course, our children have a grandfather. They have somebody who sees them and he respects them. And he makes way for them. He encourages them, and he has this amazing ability just to let them be, doesn't he? He accepts them for who they are. He doesn't try and change them. He sees the good in them, and he helps me to see the good in them too. At times, when I need that. The twins can go up there and chat away to Uncle, and he'll listen, and he makes time for them. And it's such an incredible blessing. And the goodness of God astounds me. And I was having one of those reflective, pondering moments at the end of our gate the other day. And I was standing out looking at the view thinking, man, it's just, Lord, so amazing and miraculous that we would find ourselves in this position. And it occurred to me in that moment that as much as he has totally blessed us, he has also placed this good man in a family. Yes, salvation. Jesus, we pray for salvation for Uncle Jack, is his name, Jack. in Jesus' name, that he would know you and know the fullness of your grace and his love in such a powerful way. Lord God, we thank you for him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Grant. Yeah. You know, he never married my uncle. And what could have happened is that he could have potentially, he never married, never had children, he could have potentially lived out his days lonely. But God had other plans for him. And now to overlook the value of this relationship would just be to walk away from God's best plans for all of our lives. I know that we could absolutely fill our lives to the brim of all kinds of important and worthwhile things. I know that, I was thinking, as his life is slowing down and he's becoming less able to get out on the farm and less able to get around, as his life is slowing down, our lives are gaining momentum and they're getting busier and fuller, and potentially there would be no time for a relationship. And so I've really felt God speaking to me about the importance of creating space and room and slowing down long enough to invest into this precious relationship and this precious man who God is desperate for. And so my challenge to you this morning is to look around. Who has God positioned you alongside? They may be flesh and blood. They may not be. They may live across the road. They may live on the same farm. They may live across the country or maybe even live across the world. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in regards to the lonely in your world, and then make room, whatever that looks like. Does it look like stopping for cups of tea? Making room for stories to be told, for tears to be shared, and for memories to be shared. Allow your heart to be tender. You know, these are not necessarily easy relationships. I know Uncle and I have had our fair share of interesting conversations. We both hold quite strong views. And I remember there was a time years ago where things had reached a point and I thought, well, we're going to have to leave. We're going to have to leave the farm and we're going to have to go and there's no way this can ever work. And of course, as I allowed God to speak to me and to make my heart tender and to reconcile, of course, that would have been a terrible deviation from the plan of God to go anywhere else. But it doesn't mean they're easy relationships. We need to slow down and reprioritize. This is the plan. Regret is not the plan. The statements that we carry after someone's gone, if only I'd made more time, that is not the plan. Railroading ahead, failing to stop and engage and see people, that is not the plan. There is richness and beauty and life in the rhythms. Don't miss out on God's best. There is a message that's pervaded the earth, which is that life is cheap, that babies are expensive and an inconvenience. And we all know babies are indeed expensive and take up a lot of time. It's a far better way of putting it. But life has always intended to be a gift. Always. Never a commodity. And that really leads me into my next point, which is usher in new life. Now, you guys know this story, and really I'm just telling you things you already know, but I just felt it was the right time to share this again. You know, most of you, that when I felt God prompting me to have another baby, I was horrified, to put it mildly. Zachary was off to school, and we'd just begun pastoring, and life was moving forward. I have to do this just so you know. Moving forward, all the things that we say, and I was finally getting on. That was very Miranda. getting on with my life. And I thought that having another baby would deviate me from the plan of God. But I also felt God's prompting to have a baby. And I really felt that God was contradicting himself. I'm really not sure how this could possibly work, God. How could it be a good time to have a baby? And I got all insecure and paranoid, and I thought, God's trying to take me out of this. He's trying to get me out. He's trying to get me out of the church. He's trying to get me barefoot and pregnant, housebound and exhausted. Oh, and I had believed a whole lot of lies, a whole lot of lies about new life. And they were born, of course, out of my own brokenness and out of my own pain. And thank the Lord that he does not want us to stay broken. And, of course, having little Miss Olivia Salmon, she's the baby, it really has been a road to healing for our family. She was the plan. New life was the plan. New life ushered in new life and healing for our entire family. And of course, it's messy and it's complicated and exhausting. But it's good because this is his plan. And interestingly enough, and I hope I'm telling enough of the story for those of you who don't know it to get it. But when I found, so we said yes to God and found out we were expecting a baby, and the name that I had was Theodore. And Theodore means gift of God. And that spoke to the core of my being, that this baby was a gift to us. And that was a promise that I was able to hold on to from the very beginning, but it took me a very long time to believe it. It took me a while to get my head around the fact that God was not trying to take me out of the race or deviate me from the plan. And I began to realize that, of course, it was the plan, and he was healing and he was teaching. He was teaching us how to love and how can we minister out of a broken heart. And I think his grace does allow us to do that because, you know, none of us are perfect and we won't be until we're in heaven. But he wanted us to be able to minister out of healing and wholeness, and knowing the goodness of the love of God, not brokenness, and fear, and an unsurrendered heart, which was really what I had. Nothing was lost, and nothing was wasted, and everything was gained by making room. He is the master craftsman of our lives, and somehow he miraculously and divinely weaves our lives together in such a way that everything is made beautiful in its time. So the challenge is have another baby. No, don't worry. Totally joking. Not even possible for most people in the room. I'm only joking. The lesson for that story is obviously to trust God and surrender. That's what that is about. And, you know, the road to healing is not what we think it will look like at all. It's much louder, much more chaotic, but it's good. No, the challenge. Okay, speak words of life over life. Be aware and intentional about the language that you use about new life. Be countercultural. Life is a gift. Because the devil is reigning in all kinds of different places, of course his message is that life is death. Of course, he wants to eradicate life because new life ushers in new life. So speak life over life. Call out the good. Be countercultural. While the circumstances around new life can sometimes be less than perfect, new life is always a gift. Extend grace and compassion and kindness to the young mums in your world. Don't judge them, help them. You know, teenage girls that have courageously chosen to keep their babies, help them. Extend kindness to them. Smile. Hallelujah. That's what we can do. A dear, dear friend of mine has just started fostering babies, and there are so many precious and vulnerable babies born into desperate situations right here in our nation. And you know, my friend was born for it. She loves it. She is thriving, loving these babies who come to, you know, it's a bit like Tina and Dave, come from a day old, from the mum in prison who can't keep her baby. So many desperate circumstances, but maybe there are people in this room who could think about making room this way. They're just suggestions. It's just having time, setting time aside to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. How can I make room in my life? Is that praying for someone? Is that extending a hand of friendship to somebody? Is it changing the way I think and speak about life? You know, making room isn't easy, but it's where the magic happens. It's where we take off our shoes because we're walking on holy ground, sacred places. I heard a nugget of gold spoken by Pastor Pitt Batten yesterday at a women's conference, and she said this. She said, "The only truth about God you actually believe is what you're doing." I thought that's very good. I'm going to read it again. "The only truth about God you actually believe is what you're doing. Our actions speak louder. I mean, I've been talking a lot about speaking, and we know words are powerful. But if we're not living it, maybe we don't believe it. Again, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, each of our hearts on that. But if we really do believe that relationship is at the heart of God, then we will make room. We will have a revelation about what really matters in this life. God is for real when he says that he wants his love to pervade every part of this earth, that every heart would know the goodness and the vastness and the greatness of his love. My uncle, the Lord, yeah, cares about Uncle Jack, who's denied him, just, you know, we're in the sound bubble here. Denied him. The Lord is just drawing him in. And there are people in your life who the Lord is just drawing in. He's drawing in. And I don't think that people can escape being drawn into his love when we, the Jesus followers, live out our faith as God intended. His love acts like an orbit around our lives, and it draws people in, it attracts people, and then it keeps people there. So he's just drawing people in to his love, which can only happen if we act and invite people in. God cares about all people, and he has a particular tender spot for the voiceless, the powerless, the fatherless, and the vulnerable. And our young and our old are particularly vulnerable. So this morning I want to pray for a couple of things. And maybe, Grant, if you could just come up on the keyboard and we'll just have a little bit of music while we pray for these things, that would be awesome. Firstly, I want to pray for the vulnerable in our community, that God would open our eyes to the precious people around us, that we would turn down the volume in our lives in order to hear the voice of the Spirit as he leads us into action. He has a plan. He wants us to make room. And the second thing I want to do is to pray for people here who are in a season of change and needing to reprioritize and reorder life in order to make room. And maybe that is, like we are, you know, having to reorder and reprioritize and how we are doing things at the farm because of what Uncle can no longer do, or whatever that looks like in your own lives. I just want to pray for you and just remind you that God has graced you for this season. His grace is enough. He is more than sufficient. So perhaps what I thought might be a nice idea is if you're in a season of change, if you feel comfortable, just to put your hand up, and I'm just going to pray. And if people around see someone with their hand up, if you could just kind of extend your arm towards them and pray for them as well, that would be awesome. Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness over our lives. Lord, I thank you that you know every situation, every hand that is up. Lord God, you know the complexity of the circumstances. Lord, you stand beside us and you weep with us. Lord God, Jesus, I pray for provision in Jesus' name, for wisdom in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that in the midst of change, that there would be certainty in Jesus' name, a steadfastness of spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, you are our anchor. You are our cornerstone. And I pray for an anchoring in Jesus' name, in the goodness and the graciousness of our Heavenly Father for each person. I'm just going to read out Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Just say that with me. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Your grace is sufficient, Lord God. You are more than enough. Jesus. Jesus. Pray for divine wisdom in Jesus' name. Divine strength in Jesus' name. Holy God, protection in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Holy God. And then let's all stand as we pray for our community. Holy God. And I just invite the worship team to come up now as well, and we'll finish in a declaration of praise and exaltation. Lord, I thank you that you have positioned us here, not by mistake, but for your plans and purposes in this place. Lord God, I thank you for the divine orchestration of our lives, who you have positioned us next to in Jesus' name, that you would open our eyes to see. Lord, that we would not be those that judge, but we would be those who love. Lord, that people would be drawn into the orbit of your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray for the vulnerable in our community. Complex and devastating situations all around us. Lord, that we would be people who pray. We would not be people who turn the other way, but we would be people who pray. That we would be people willing to go into the dark places. That we would be people who are willing to make room in our lives so that people can experience the goodness and the depth of your love. We may not always get it right. We may say stupid things. I know I do that frequently, Lord God, but don't let my lack of confidence stop me from moving into the places that you have in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for the elderly in our community, so vulnerable and voiceless. Lord, we pray for blessing in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, for conversations that bring life and hope and joy. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that you've planted us here for such a time as this. Let us be people who make room. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's just finish off by praising God, worshiping him, declaring him as sovereign. Lord, you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.